Hey everybody, and welcome to episode number 54 of the Tuesday Night Comics podcast. Today is Tuesday, January 13th, 2015, and myself, Billy, and my co-host Dave.
Hey guys.
We're going to be talking about new comics that are coming out Wednesday, January 14th. And for those of you who have never listened to the show before, basically we divide the show up into three segments where we'll preview some new comics, give you our picks for what you should be looking for at the comic book store or at the digital storefront this Wednesday. Then we'll do some reviews, and then we'll talk about some comic news.
Right.
How are you feeling today, Dave?
Pretty good. A little tired. Long day at work. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, the same. Pretty tired, though. I'm excited for some of these comics that are coming out this week.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool looking ones.
Yeah, this is this is officially Star Wars week over at Marvel. We've got the first issue of Marvel Star Wars number one. This is the first time Marvel has had the Star Wars license since the mid to late 1980s.
Right. Yeah. And looks like they're starting to release some back issues of Star Wars in trade and stuff. I got that email from Comixology that there's a bunch of stuff that Marvel's putting out. So I didn't really comb through it, and I'm not too knowledgeable on that stuff, so I don't know what stuff used to be printed at Dark Horse or what stuff was just like Marvel back issue stuff.
Yeah. Marvel last week put out a bunch of the Dark Horse books on the digital storefront. The big deal about this is that Dark Horse Comics digitally is only available through their own proprietary web app, not available through Comixology. So this is the first time Star Wars comics have ever been on Comixology. There were the Dark Horse on there were mostly Dark Horse produced comics. And then there were some of the old Marvel books because I believe Dark Horse released omnibuses of the old Marvel comics.
Oh, and really?
Now Marvel is digitally releasing the Dark Horse omnibus of the old Marvel comics. So you can buy those on Comixology. You could also buy The Star Wars, which is the George Lucas draft of it's like the first draft or an early draft of Star Wars. So a lot of the characters are different. And what they did was they produced this into a comic book last year. This was one of Dark Horse's big titles, as they were running towards the end of having that license.
Yeah, I remember that happening. I was like, oh, that sounds pretty cool.
And then what I thought was very interesting is that Marvel released Volume 1 of the Brian Wood-written Dark Horse Star Wars series, which was met to much acclaim when it came out in 2013, it ran through 2014. The weird thing about this, though, is that the events in it take place right after the end of the original Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. It takes place between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, which is very similar to Star Wars number one, which is coming out from Marvel this week. It's almost like they're releasing something that's in direct competition with the book that they're releasing this week.
That is really weird. Does it have like the new universe tag on it or whatever?
New universe tag. Well, Marvel has said that this Star Wars comic that they are releasing is in continuity.
I meant like the Brian Wood stuff. Is that like the a new universe might be the wrong.
Yeah, I don't. Do you mean like
extended universe?
Oh, okay. Is it printed with an extended universe tag? No, it's just I believe that any Star Wars story that's not told in a movie, I think gets counted as extended universe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there were like Star Wars Infinities, which Dark Horse had produced, which were kind of like Star Wars What If tales. That like the movies went in different directions based on key plot points changing. So I believe Marvel has, this new Star Wars series isn't like the new 52 Star Wars. It's not a reboot, but Marvel has not said what previous Star Wars comics are still in the continuity. To be fair, though, Dark Horse was the same way with the Marvel comics that had come out years before that.
Right.
Yeah. And when it comes down to it, the movies are what really are in charge of continuity.
Right, yeah. I mean, I guess at any point they could be like, yeah, this comic book, nah, not in continuity.
Yeah, I love Star Wars. I'm a big Star Wars fanboy. I'm running the Star Wars half marathon this weekend in Disneyland.
Oh, awesome.
I've always taken the Star Wars comics with a grain of salt, you know, that they aren't in continuity. And I feel like you have to take any licensed comic that way.
Right.
Like, if the Doctor Who TV show contradicted the Doctor Who comic, I think I'd, you know, go with the TV show over the comic, regardless of what was published first.
Right, right.
Yeah. And there's some really cool variant covers for the Star Wars number one. One actually looks like a Luke Skywalker carded action figure.
I saw that. That was really cool.
Yeah, there's an awesome Scotty Young cover. There's a pretty humorous John Tyler Christopher cover, which has the cast of Star Wars trying to close the door on this like obscure Star Wars character who kind of looks basically like a green bunny.
He kind of looks Bucky O'Hare.
Oh, is that who that is? Okay.
Well, that's not who that is. But,
right.
I read who that was in an article, and he's like an obscure Star Wars character from the old Marvel comics.
Yeah, I remember him from like when I was a kid and seeing him in the Marvel comics. I think that is a character that is definitely going to be out of continuity.
Yeah, yeah. Looks like it.
Yeah, so Star Wars definitely, it's a $5 price tag. I believe it's a 33-page comic, though. So you are getting a slightly bigger issue than, well, you know, 1.5 times the size of a standard comic.
Right.
And if you've got money to burn, you could buy the Joe Quesada sketch variant cover, which will run you $350.
Are you buying the actual sketch?
Yeah, you're not getting a sketch from Joe Quesada. It's just a black and white version of the other Joe Quesada color version variant cover, which is will run you a modest $50 comparatively.
Wow, yeah, take away the color and you're paying more. You know?
Yeah. I never understood that with the sketch variants. It is cool to see just the pencil and inked art, but at the same time, like, I don't know. To each their own.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. But if I got any cover out of these Star Wars books, I think I'd... Man, yeah, the one with the green bunny, the Scotty Young or the action figure one, I think, are the ways to go.
Yeah, they're definitely the coolest. I don't even know who that green bunny is, but it's a hilarious cover. So like, I'm in!
Yeah. And then certain stores have their own exclusive variants. Midtown Comics in New York City has an exclusive Mark Brooks variant cover, and it's going to be a connecting set of three covers for each of the Star Wars books that Marvel is releasing in the first part of 2015. So Star Wars will connect to the Princess Leia book, and I think there's also a Darth Vader coming out in a couple of months. And there's one more thing on this Star Wars before we move into the other books. If you're in New York City this week, Midtown Comics is having a signing for this comic. If you are in New York City on January 16th, you can meet Jason Aaron, the writer, and John Cassidy, the artist, at the Midtown Comics downtown location on Fulton Street. And that is free to attend. You just have to, you do have to purchase Star Wars number one from Midtown Comics to attend the signing. And that's at 8 p.m., or I'm sorry, 6 p.m. on this Friday.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I would totally go to this. Unfortunately, I will be in Disneyland at that time running the Star Wars races.
Well, you can only pick one Star Wars thing you could do, Billy. So.
I know. It's really not fair. Yeah. So that's the book that caught my eye the most. The other book that caught my eye the most is Shield number 2.
I knew you were going to go to that.
I loved Shield number 1. And what's great about Shield number 2 is that you don't have to have read Shield number 1 to enjoy this book. Shield number 1 was a one and done story, basically just introducing Coulson's team in the Marvel Universe and He doesn't. It's not him putting together the team. They're already off and running as a S.H.I.E.L.D. unit. S.H.I.E.L.D. number two, we get Coulson's team interacting with my favorite new character of 2014, who's Kamala Khan, a.k.a. Ms. Marvel.
Right, yeah. You know, it's so funny when the... on S.H.I.E.L.D., when the Inhumans are starting to show up there. Mm. And I was like, man, it would be so awesome if Ms. Marvel showed up.
You're getting your wish, in the comic at least.
And I was like, well, I guess Mark Waid had the same idea when he was watching the show.
Yeah, and it's funny because in my review of S.H.I.E.L.D. number one for TuesdayNightMovies.com, I talked about how much I'd missed Carlos Pacheco as an artist and that I was really looking forward to him staying on the series so that we could see his take on Marvel characters that he hasn't drawn because he's kind of disappeared for the past few years. So I was psyched for him to draw Ms. Marvel, and then I just looked at the credits, and Humberto Ramos is the artist for this issue. Also a great artist, and I think it's his first time drawing the character in a published sense. But I am a little disappointed that Pacheco is off the book already.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be rotating artists.
Yeah, that'd be cool, especially if they do high-quality artists like Ramos or Pacheco.
Yeah, I mean, how Ramos did Impulse, you know, I think, mm-hmm. you know, works very well with how he could do Kamala Khan.
Oh, definitely, yeah. The way her power set is and her oversized limbs, and she tends to be drawn with big feet when she's... Just like Impulse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what's catching your eye? Those are my two big books for the week. What about you?
Well, Silver Surfer has an awesome cover. I stopped following this once I got the Marvel Unlimited app, but this cover is pretty awesome by Mike Allred.
Yeah.
And it's written by Dan Slott, and it makes me excited to get caught up on... Silver Surfer when they come around on the Digital Unlimited app. Over at DC...
Just hang on Silver Surfer for a minute, because I'm loving Silver Surfer. I definitely think this is a book that's worth buying, you know, as it comes out, because it's just that damn good.
Right. Yeah, when I threw down the money on the Unlimited app, I was like, I felt like I couldn't justify putting more money to buying those comics.
I hear you.
So I was like, I think I'm just going to stick with James Robinson comics, who I love.
Right.
You know, at Marvel, who I'll buy week to week, or, you know, month to month, or whatever, however they're coming out.
Looks like that's going to put you at, you know, two titles right there always from him, because while Fantastic Four is ending, he says he has a new Marvel title to announce soon.
Right, yeah, so, you know, I'll still be, you know, throwing my money his way month to month. So
your James Robinson money.
Yeah.
He's great. He posts regularly on Facebook, and I really love his posts.
I should follow him on Facebook.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. He's one of the better comic book creators to follow on Facebook.
Over at DC.
Yeah.
Constantine number 21 looks like his trip to Earth 2 is, you know, becoming a team up with Dr. Fate, and they're fighting parademons. Looks really cool. You know, it's not kind of what I want to see with Constantine, like fighting parademons. Him teaming up with Dr. Fate is really cool. I'm looking forward to that. And Justice League United number 8 looks really cool.
Yeah, that's one of my most favorite covers this week is that main cover for Justice League United number 8.
Yeah, I've been catching up on this series as the series reduces in price, and it's been really cool. The Legion of Superheroes arc that's in there right now is pretty awesome, and it ties right into the first arc with Ultra the Multi-Alien, and it picks up on stuff with Hawkman's death.
Mm-hmm.
And But, you know, I say death, but, you know how Death and Hawkman works.
Yeah, he seems to just die and be, you know, I guess it's part of his character.
Right, right. So it seems like there's going to be a new 52 twist on that reincarnation stuff. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. The DC book I'm most excited for this week is definitely Batgirl number 38. I'm loving the Burnside Batgirl that Cameron Stewart, Brendan Fletcher, and Bob Babstar have introduced. This series is outstanding through three issues so far, and this is the fourth one.
Yeah, that looks really cool.
And there's a really cool Flash 75th anniversary variant cover, which is modeled after the comic that had Batgirl's first appearance in it, which I think Carmine Infantino did the cover for. So Aaron Lopresti has redone that cover, and instead of Batgirl swinging, it's Flash grabbing her and running off as Batman and Robin swing towards them. And the really interesting thing about this is that Batman, Batgirl, and Robin are all in their 1960s outfits, and Flash is clearly in his new 52 costume because there's so much crazy detail going on those boots of his.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I like the Justice League United variant by Carl Kerschel, where he's looks like he's fighting Adam Strange, but really cool cover. Also looks like he's in his new 52 uniform.
Yeah, I think he's actually trying to free Adam Strange from whatever you know, tentacle porn monster is about to do naughty things to him.
Right, yeah, you might be right. But Adam Strange is definitely in his, like, 60s outfit, so.
Right. Yeah, so I guess that's the... And then there's the other really cool one is on the cover of Green Lantern Corps number 38, which has a great Bill Sienkiewicz variant, which plays off the old John Stewart and Hal Jordan covers from the 70s. And Flash is just kind of like running through the background as it happens, looking a little surprised to see these guys fighting each other.
That's funny. Yeah. I like the Nightwing one too, or I mean Grayson.
Yeah, as he's running up the building.
Yeah, it's an old issue of Nightwing. I think it's actually when there was that like brief moment of time that I think Jason Todd became Nightwing.
Yeah, that's when Bob Gale was writing the series. That was a terrible run on Nightwing.
Yeah, and so, but awesome cover, which was by Jock. And,
yeah.
You know, if, you know, I saw this comic pre-New 52, I'd be way in because I always love a Dick Grayson and Wally West team up.
Mm. I remember the covers during that Jason Todd run being so awesome looking. And then fooling me for a good like three or four issues before I was like, okay, this comic is not very good right now.
Yeah, the covers are amazing, but yeah.
Yeah, it's always the worst. Yeah, and so like no big new releases coming out from Image. We have a new issue of The Walking Dead. You know, if you're a follower of one of Image's great series, there's a good chance you've got another issue coming out. Nothing that really like blows it out of the water. And over at Marvel, we have Michel Fife's final issue of All New Ultimates. He said he'd sign on for a 12-issue run. This is issue number 12. And, you know, I don't know what he's doing at Marvel next. I don't think he's announced it, but he's mm-hmm. definitely continuing his self-publishing with Cobra.
That's cool. Yeah. Also, another thing to note is the Veil hardcover coming out from Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Collecting 1 through 5. We talked about Veil a lot on this podcast earlier this year. So we highly endorse it.
Yeah, and the hardcover looks like it's going to have some really cool special features in it, too. I definitely recommend everybody reading this book. Dave, I think the two of us should actually read this now that like it's all in one volume.
Yeah, I think it's going to read a little differently, and I can't wait to see the extra features and stuff in there.
Yeah, because it seemed to be a victim of its own shipping schedule.
Yeah, a little bit, because, you know, I definitely fell off, like, maybe I read 4 issues and 5th issue, I didn't notice if it came out or something, but yeah, it was really good, so. Yeah.
All right, so let's play everybody's favorite game, where are you spending that $20?
Woo! Woo! All right! All right. You've got
$20 to spend at the comic book store this Wednesday. And without going over, where are you putting that money?
All right. Well, I am going to throw down on Constantine.
Okay.
And then I'm going to throw down on Justice League United.
Okay. That's Constantine 3, Justice League United 4. So we're at $7.
Yep. Then I'm going to jump in on the New 52 Futures End and Earth 2 World's End. Because yeah. I'm hooked in there. Even though Earth 2 Worlds End is a little bit of a train wreck, I'm still hooked in.
They got your hooks in here. So you're at $13 now.
Right. Then I'm gonna go down to Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And I am gonna jump in on Shield number 2 because that looks awesome.
Nice. So you're at 17. If you can find a $3 comic, which you won't find it at Marvel, but you might be able to find it at DC.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, man. That's rough, because I was like, Yeah, oh, man. Marvel, yeah, $4.99 for Star Wars. That's rough, dude.
Yeah, it is an oversized issue, but it does look like Marvel, $3 books at Marvel are going the way of the dodo.
Yeah. Like,
I don't think there's one $3 book this week.
I think you might be right. Maybe I'll have to jump back over to DC and pick up your recommendation of Batgirl.
Nice. Yeah, Batgirl is great. Everybody should be reading Batgirl. It is outstanding. It's such a refreshing take on the character. All right, so exactly $20. I don't remember the last time that happened. Well done, Dave.
Yeah, I don't think that ever happened.
Yeah, we usually left with like a dollar left over. And I think I'm going to have a weird dollar amount. So I'm going to start with Batgirl right off the top. So that's $3 right there. I'm loving that series. My Star Wars fanboy in me requires me to buy Star Wars number 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd totally go for that Luke Skywalker action figure cover. So we're at $8. Shield number 2, yeah, definite must buy. These first three comics are like just must buys for me. I'm like, yes, I want this comic. So
right.
Shield number 2, that brings me up to $12. Oh, maybe I will hit an even 20 because that leaves me enough room for two more books at Marvel, which is what I was hoping for because I got Nightcrawler number 10.
Which has a really cool cover.
Yeah. And this is written by Chris Claremont with art by Todd Knock. They have just been, like, I love 80s, 90s X-Men. And if you love 80s, 90s X-Men, you need to read Nightcrawler. Because here, Nightcrawler is battling the Shadow King. Like, all the classic villains from Claremont's run are coming back, and Claremont is writing this book rather well. I think since he's, you know, just allowed to do his own Claremont stuff in his own little corner here, and he doesn't have to worry about the whole entire X-Men line on his shoulders.
Right.
You know, he's able to do, like, a nice little fun book here with Todd.
Cool.
Yeah. And if you follow Todd on Twitter, you could win a Nightcrawler sketch from him by retweeting his Nightcrawler sketch contest tweet. And he does that every time a new issue comes out. So I've got $4 left after Nightcrawler number 10. Now I'm going to jump down for Silver Surfer number 8, which was Silver Surfer in 2014. So, of course, I have to pick it up when a new issue comes out.
All right.
And that's it. Unfortunately, that leaves, you know, Spider-Verse number 2. I got to leave you on the table. A lot of books this week that, like, you know, might have made it home. I'm leaving The Walking Dead on the table. You know?
Oh, man, that's big for you.
I know, but it's just, if you're going to have a budget, you got to stick to it. You got to make hard decisions.
Right.
It's too bad Ali couldn't make it onto the podcast today because there's a Rat Queen special that's coming out from Image this week. And he's huge on that series.
Yeah.
That was his top comic of 2014.
You're right. I actually, in the Image sale, I bought, I think I said last week, I bought Rat Queen, and I was given a shot from his recommendation.
Yeah, I bought the first trade as well in that digital Image sale. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, though. But I'm definitely looking forward to it. So that's it. $20 even, both of us.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we... really spent every penny.
The math gods have smiled upon us. Now we're both broke. So what did you read this week, Dave?
Well, this week I finished reading Fatale, the series, which was a great series. And you know, we talked about it last week a little bit. I think it really, you know, put a cool spin on the femme fatales and the tropes that come along with it. And it was definitely a mix of, like, if you like Brubaker's kind of, you know, noir type stuff, you know, mixed in with a little bit of like a game and feel. I felt like the ending chapter left a little to be desired for me. Like it felt a little anticlimactic, but you know, I still enjoyed the story as a whole, you know?
Nice. Yeah. I never read the whole thing of that. I probably got like halfway through whatever, that series, but I haven't, I didn't even know that it had actually reached a definite conclusion.
Right. So, go ahead.
No, so it has reached a definite conclusion, right?
Yeah, definitely done. So five trades and done. I kind of like that, you know, Brubaker, for a lot of his works, you know, whether it's Criminal or I forget the other series that he had from Icon.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, they're like, you know, 2, 3, 5 trades, but like, you know, you don't get up to like the 8, 9, or 10 trades where you're like, this is a commitment that's, you know.
Yeah. Well, what's nice about Criminal is that each story is a standalone, but they overall connect to each other. But you don't have to, you could read them in any order and you don't have to read them all if you don't want to.
Right.
You know, they're all like indirect sequels and prequels to each other.
Yeah, you're right. I read something that you might want to pick up.
Okay.
DC's Secret Origins series, number 9, I believe, just dropped in price last week. And it featured Wonder Woman's origin, and it was by Brian Azzarello and Cliff Chang.
Oh, interesting.
And so it was great. You know, there's a couple other stories in there that were, you know, good reads, but I mean, that by far was the best, and it really, you know, Brian Azzarello never really gave Wonder Woman an origin issue. They talked about her origin and, you know, explained the origin, you know, through the story that he was telling, but this is like, you know, somewhat of a definitive origin for her.
And, oh, that's very cool.
It was done really awesome, you know, a lot of tongue-in-cheek stuff like you got in the book, and it was an awesome way, like a little surprise that I was like, whoa, this is by Azzarello, and yeah, it was great.
That's very cool. I definitely have to check that out, because after finishing their run on the book, I was like, man, I want more of this. So it's nice to know there is actually a little more out there.
Yeah, just a little like coda, I guess you would say.
Yeah. Wow, that's fantastic. And Future's End and World's End are just plugging along as well?
Yeah, they're chugging along. Future's End is getting pretty good. World's End and Earth 2, they're just, you know, just chock full of, you know, non-Golden Age characters like Lobo.
Gotcha.
Starfire.
And do you shake your head every time you see something like that?
You know what is, you know what I was thinking, which, you know, like outside of the fact that, like, you know, I'm like, this doesn't make sense at the core of what this book is supposed to be, you know.
Right.
You know, taking the Batman out of Batman, you know, kind of stuff. But when James Robinson first started the book and people were asking, like, hey, will Hawkman show up? Will, you know, the Atom show up? And, you know, will Red Tornado show up? Will, you know, all these characters who have duplicates on the main DC Earth, Earth Zero. And he was told by DC editorial, like, you get Hawkgirl, the Flash, Green Lantern, and I think he wiggled Hawk, the Atom in there.
Okay.
That's what you get. We don't want to confuse anybody. And now it's just doors, floodgates are wide open. Anybody you want doesn't matter if it makes any sense, you know, with what we set up for this universe, you know.
Yeah, when Earth 2 first started, there was a very clear delineation between main Earth characters and Earth 2 characters, and there was no overlap. Well, there was meant to be no overlap. So there was a Green Lantern on both, but there was no Alan Scott on the main Earth, and there was no Hal Jordan on this Earth, with the exception of Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, who they killed off in the first issue.
Right, right. So, yeah, so it's a little frustrating, because I'm like, man, like, what James Robinson was doing with the book in the beginning of the series was great, and, like, if he was allowed to use, I think he wanted to use the Ray, and he wasn't able to, and there was, like, hints that he might have used the Guardian, and, you know, I don't know if he would have used them as early as, you know, all the books that he wrote, but, you know, it made me kind of go, man, like, that's what they're doing now. I wish they could have done that earlier, you know? but yeah, you know, it's a good story.
That's funny.
I laugh at my own annoyance of of it.
Well, it's rightly so, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know. I try to keep it in check, you know, where, you know, it's annoying and you're like, oh, man, like, this isn't what it's supposed to be, but these are the characters I love and I still kind of want to see what's going on. And, you know, if it really pissed me off that much, I could just not buy the book.
Gotcha. That's true. Yeah. That's very true.
Right.
Now, I'm on my Saga of the Swamp Thing kick still. I just finished the Volume 4 hardcover, which takes us through Alan Moore's double-sized issue number 50, which basically this evil being that Constantine has been trying to get Swamp Thing to prevent from, you know, coming to Earth. Before I go on, what's cool about Volume 4, and this is before Vertigo Comics was introduced, so Swamp Thing, while separate from the DC Universe, still had a lot of crossover with the DC Universe. He was still a DC Comics character.
I'm going to go out there and say I don't think Alan Moore wrote a Vertigo comic book ever.
No, yeah, I don't believe he did, because by the time Vertigo was started, Alan Moore was long off Swamp Thing.
Right.
And by the time Vertigo began, he and DC had their falling out.
Mm-hmm.
What's really cool is I remember in Crisis on Infinite Earths, there's a scene on the monitor's like spaceship, and it has all the heroes and like villains gathered together, and they're getting ready to team up. And standing in the middle of it, like off to the side, is Swamp Thing. And I always thought that was kind of strange, because I knew Swamp Thing was, you know, he was a hero, but he's not like a superhero hero. Like, so Swamp Thing doesn't join the Justice League.
He does now. I mean, he's in Justice League Dark, but.
But not like the main Justice League, like Constantine Justice League Dark. And basically, in this run, on Alan Moore's run on Swamp Thing, you have basically a precursor to Justice League Dark, in that you have Swamp Thing, the Demon, Dr. Fate, Constantine, and Zatanna basically all teaming up at the same time.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and you get almost like an early version of that scene in Zatanna's miniseries that Grant Morrison wrote, where she's around the table, you know, and like everybody kind of like burns up and dies. Mm-hmm. You definitely get the scene in this run on Swamp Thing that was based on.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's excellent. And Volume 4 was really interesting. You have Swamp Thing traveling to South America and taking on this like Aztec South American look to him. And the book is definitely getting more and more metaphysical as it goes on. It's just like, it's not only about like Swamp Thing fighting these horrific villains, but it's like debating the nature of good and evil too.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. So I just started Volume 5. I'm really excited about that, which delves into Abby Chase, who is Swamp Thing's girlfriend, basically gets photographed kissing him in the swamp and gets fired from her job and arrested because she's like fornicating, you know, with like a plant monster. And, you know, that doesn't go in the deep south. Nah, it probably wouldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like...
That's got to be some kind of illegal.
Yeah, but this book was written in, like, the, you know, the mid-1980s. So you would think that it wouldn't, like, apply today, but now in our, like, Instagram and, like, Facebook and people taking photos on their smartphones and them going viral, it, like, the story works even better today, I think, than it did in 1985.
I could see that. I could see that. I mean, yeah. I haven't read the book, but that you know, I could definitely, from what you're talking about, I could see it, you know, really, really being maybe a little timeless.
Yeah, it's really cool. There are a few things in the book that Alan Moore writes in his Swamp Thing run that it's amazing how they seem more prescient today than they did back then. Like, Abby's husband has these kind of like Scarlet Witch type powers where he can kind of like create things from nothing, and he gets lost in his own little world of, like, you know, creating these little fairy ladies to like pleasure him. And it's almost like people who like just get lost in their own little world on like Facebook and stuff.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
A man before his time, Alan.
Seriously, like, this book, I feel like, was written like 30 years before its time.
That's really cool. I actually am. You reading this is really making me look forward to reading it.
Yeah, I'm glad, because it's great. It's much better. I knew I would respect it. I didn't think I would enjoy it this much.
Right, right. That's cool. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to reading it.
Yeah. And that's actually basically all I read this week. I've just been kind of like addicted to Swamp Thing.
That's cool. I started reading God is Dead, which is by my favorite guy,
Jonathan, not James Hickman, Robinson.
Or my other favorite guy of late, Jonathan Hickman.
Yeah, that's his.
And it's co-written by Mike Costa.
And that's his book at Avatar Press, right?
Right, yeah.
Who just got bought out.
Oh, really? By who?
I believe Avatar got bought by Dark Horse, I want to say.
Oh.
Somebody just bought them.
Oh, that's interesting.
Unless I'm making that up. You know what? It's going to turn out that, like, a different company. Oh, you know what? Okay. I'm an idiot. I think Top Shelf got bought out, not Avatar.
Ow. Okay, yeah, it kind of makes a little more sense. I could see Dark Horse buying Top Shelf. They have very similar products, I think.
Yeah, I think Dark Horse bought Top Shelf, and it wasn't Dark Horse, it was IDW. So when I said that Dark Horse bought Avatar, I actually got everything wrong in that, except that something was bought.
You're like the guy on Saturday Night Live, yeah. Drunk uncle who gets all the news wrong.
Yeah, I'm drunk host.
Yeah.
Drinking my 10% alcohol beer and being like, Dark Horse bought Avatar.
So God is Dead is really good. The first six issues are co-written by Jonathan Hickman, and then after that, Mike Costa just takes over. And I think that's really when the series takes off. The first six issues kind of set up the world. And the basic premise is that all the gods from all mythology and, you know, folklore and, you know, all, like, dead religions come back. Everybody but Jesus Christ basically comes back. And they are like, we're back, and like people go crazy, and they're like, I'm worshiping the old gods, you know, and like people are like making sacrifices and all this stuff, and you know, and there's this a group of scientists who are like, we're gonna kill all these old gods. And so that's the basic premise, and basically the gods end up going to war with each other on Earth. That storyline wraps up, and then after issue six, it jumps 150 years into the future.
Wow.
And it deals with the repercussions of that storyline. And that is really where it takes off, because I feel like the first six issues, mm-hmm. is very, it's very like about the plot and moving the plot along and what happens here and what happens there. And you know, it's kind of like one of my problems with some of Hickman's work is that like you don't get a lot of character,
okay. But
you get a lot of story, you know, like, I think, you know, I don't feel that way about like East of West. I think that's probably one of his best written indie books, because you do get character there, you know?
Yeah.
But I think also like that's a little, this series had me thinking like, is that why like his Marvel work works a little better, because you know who those characters are. So you could kind of fill in some blanks a little bit. And you could do that here. And actually, you know, I'd actually suggest for you to read this, Billy, because it's got a bunch of, you know, you were talking about liking Wonder Woman and partially because of the gods.
Right.
Past this issue 6, I feel like it has that portion like very much in common with Wonder Woman, and it even has a little bit of that Sandman vibe, or even
nice.
Like American Gods vibe to
right.
it. But in a completely different and its own way. But I definitely suggest the series, and you know, I feel like people might read the first 6 issues and be like, "Yeah, this 6 issues to really get into this." And it's after issue 6, I think it really takes off, because it's all about setting this world up. The only other thing is that I think the art gets a little better after issue 6.
That was actually what had turned me off to the comic. Just looking at the covers, it had that distinct Avatar look to it.
I thought it looked like most Jonathan Hickman books, because
okay.
covers are designed by him, and that's like his signature style, where he like cuts it in half, and like, you know, you look at like any of his other books, they're designed exactly the same way.
Right. Yeah. I just like just some of the illustrations that I'd seen. Maybe I was even looking at a variant cover.
Maybe. The illustrations inside,
like have that very. It almost seems like a lot of the Avatar house style is like almost like a dated 90s look to it.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say 90s, because there's just a little bit of a maybe bad 90s. There's something where like all the characters look a little flat. I feel like I don't like trashing on guys' work, but like
right.
it has like a bit of like a novice feel to the artwork.
Yeah.
I have that feeling when that's why I never like followed Warren Ellis to Avatar.
Yeah, and that's exactly the kind of book I'm thinking of, is like any of Warren Ellis's books at Avatar. And I feel like the Avatar books have looked the same like since Warren Ellis was making books at Avatar, you know, in the early 2000s.
Right, and I've seen people do like a style where they're like they make it look a little bit like a novice is drawing it in high school artwork, but for a style, and
right.
But like you could tell when people do that, you know, like there's a definite, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there's a classiness is the word that's coming into head, but that's probably not the right word that I'm looking for, but you know, or a sophistication in the making, you know, the choices that they make and making it look novice, you know, aren't novice.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're saying God is Dead. God is Dead is the name of the series, right?
Yes.
Is definitely worth to read then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, that's good to know. Right? I would like to check that out.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a bundle sale that you could get on Comixology.
Oh, nice.
If anybody's looking to read a bunch of them, because they don't trade them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Like in print or digitally?
I don't think either. I could be wrong, but I did not see that.
It's such an interesting change of pace than what I'm just used to. It seems like, you know, everybody's moving towards trades these days.
Right, right. You know, well, you know, they solved that wait for trade thing that everyone's like, we, you know, don't wait for the trade. And they're like, well, we were not going to put out a trade, so you're not going to wait for it.
That's funny. Yeah. I'm going to wait for the trade. No, you're going to be waiting for a long time.
Maybe it's it'll be interesting. I'd have to look that up to definitely say for sure.
Because Avatar does make trades, I think. I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to look into it. Cool. Did you read anything else this week?
No, that was about it.
Okay. So let's talk about some breaking comics news that came out recently. Vixen is getting her own cartoon show.
Right.
And it's set in the Flash and Green Arrow, or the Arrow universe.
Right, yeah. The Arrowverse, as people call it. I guess you'd have to... I mean, I guess you could still call it Arrowverse, because he's the guy who started it all on the CW. But it's going to be on the CW's digital-only platform.
Yes.
So I don't believe that it's going to be broadcast on TV.
That's correct.
So that's pretty cool. I'm very interested to see who they cast for Vixen. Like, are they going to pick someone who would then appear on the show?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because I heard people complaining about, you know, the Vixen cartoon, one, not being live action, and two, not being on TV, but being on the website. And I think people are going a little overboard with it. Definitely seeing conspiracy theories come out where they're saying, oh, the WB doesn't believe that, like, an African-American female superhero could support her own show. The way I look at it is that actually they're just trying to parlay the success of Flash and Arrow into their digital platform where they get all the revenue and they don't have to share it with, like, TV providers.
Right, right. Yeah, and, you know, I think it would be a decent challenge to show Vixen's power. You know?
Yeah. There's a good chance it'll end up looking like the Elektra movie, which is not a good thing.
Right. So I'm interested, you know, I think maybe it's a good move there because, you know, I would be interested to see if she makes an appearance in that world after, you know, they set this, you know, CGI series up.
Yeah, yeah. Is it going to be a CGI animated series? It looked like it was cel-shaded.
Oh, really? I thought it was CGI. Maybe I read that wrong.
Yeah, maybe. And I've only seen one still from it, so I really don't know.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. And there's also they're apparently in talks to create an Adam show.
Like a Ray Palmer Adam? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, did you see I sent you two links. The top one was Vixen and the bottom one was Adam.
Oh no, I missed that one.
Yeah, so Brandon Routh is on the Arrow right now. On Arrow right now. And he is, you know, you just see his preliminary ideas for an Adam suit.
And oh, nice.
He's also going out digging. There's a meteor that landed, and he was going out to investigate it. So, you know, a la, you know, the white dwarf matter that lets him shrink. And so they were talking, both him and I think it was Mark Guggenheim said that, yeah, we're in preliminary talks, you know, very basic to see maybe we'll spin off the Atom.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, and I was like, I sent it immediately to my dad because that was his, you know, favorite comic when he was a kid.
Yeah, you actually mentioned that on last week's podcast, that was your dad's favorite comic.
And I was like, whoa, would you ever believe that Ray Palmer would get his own TV show? So he just wrote back, "Cool," in a text message.
You're like, you should be more excited about this.
No, awesome. Yeah, my dad's not much for words on text messages.
That's funny. Yeah, and I'm trying to think of any other big comic book news this week.
The new Image series that were announced at the Image convention.
Yeah, Image might be getting all my money this year. James Robinson has a new book coming out from them. Darwin Cook is releasing his first creator-owned comic ever.
Revengeance?
Yeah.
Brian K. Vaughan has two series that he will be putting out. One with Steve Scroce or Scroke.
Yeah.
Who's
the artist on Fantastic Four, right? Or Invaders, one of the two.
Is he?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, are you sure?
No. I could just be making more stuff up.
I know Leonard Kirk is the artist on Fantastic Four, and I believe Steve
Lytle? Steve Pugh? Oh, my bad.
Is that how you say it? Pugh?
Yeah, Pugh.
The Brian K. Vaughan book is entitled We Stand Guarded.
I'm just going to keep making up comic news.
And the other comic by Brian K. Vaughan is Paper Girls with Cliff Chang doing artwork.
Wow, yeah, just take my money now.
Right. Haven by James Robinson and Philip Tan.
I'm on the fence on this one because I really like James Robinson. I do not like Philip Tan's art.
He's killed a lot of books for me.
I remember when he was a fill-in artist on Green Lantern, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to buy the issues that he draws anymore because they're terrible.
Right. Jeff Lemire is working with Emmy Lennox and Jordi Belair. And they're putting out Plutona, so I'm totally in on that. Anything Jeff Lemire, got my money. Karen Gillan and David LaFuente are putting out the Ludocrats.
Oh, nice! I love LaFuente's art and Gillan.
Yeah,
Gillan I think is one of the most underrated comic book writers around right now.
This is not a sequel to the Aristocats.
Good to know.
Brian Wood is putting out a book called Starve, as well as Black Road.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there's a lot more that came out. I just is kind of handpicking all of these guys, but
And the Image already has a strong lineup too.
Right.
Like it seems where a lot of these guys go to Marvel and DC to make their money, and then they go to Image to make their passion projects.
Image is kind of becoming what Vertigo was, you know, in the early mm-hmm. aughts and, you know, the 90s.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm excited. The only thing I'm not excited is being poor after all these comics.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's what you wait for the sales for.
Like how you sounded like you're like, yeah, this is how you do it, kid. You wait for the sales.
You wait for the sales, kids, and then you get caught up.
Nice. Cool. All right. Well, everybody, I hope we have given you a nice little, almost an hour of comic book entertainment. We've given you a bunch of news, some of it real, some of it just made up off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, isn't this what happened? No, Billy. No, it's not.
You're sending out those secret messages we were talking about last week.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Steve Scroce is the artist of Fantastic Four. No, he isn't. What about Invaders? No, not that either, Bill. He did draw Action Comics. I didn't have a chance to look that up. He was one of the artists on the New 52 Action Comics.
Oh, really?
That's where you may have heard his name before. Well, he's cool. Canadian.
Hmm,
he's of Croatian descent. I'm just reading his Wizard World.
I don't believe any of this.
Damn it. That actually was all true, I swear. Well, everybody,
the boy who cried wolf.
The boy who cried sheep. Everybody, thank you for listening to the Tuesday Night Comics podcast this week. We will be back next week, also on Tuesday, believe it or not, and we're going to preview the following week's comics, and I will talk all about S.H.I.E.L.D., definitely. Oh, Dave, before we leave, you watching Agent Carter?
I did. I watched that yesterday, actually.
It's fun, right? It's like it's almost like Alias meets the Rocketeer.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I like that it's set, like, you know, immediately after World War II.
Yes.
It, you know, it gave me a good chuckle and at a lot of the scenes, and, you know,
all their misogyny.
Yeah. And Peggy Carter getting around it or using it to her advantage.
Yeah. I like that she's getting over on everybody.
Yeah, it's really cool. Really cool series. First two episodes.
Yeah, I highly recommend everybody watching it. All right. On that note, everybody, thank you for listening this week. We will be back next week with another episode of Tuesday Night Comics Podcast. And in the meantime, enjoy your Tuesday night.